Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, hey there, Fellowship. My name is Dan. This is Fellowship Talks, and you are listening to the best podcast coming out of Fellowship Bible Church right now. My co-host, as always, is the magnificent Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everyone. Dan, isn't this the only podcast coming out of Fellowship Bible Church?
Yeah, details. Amy, I'm just glad to be here with everyone today. Dave Yonkman is on cue behind the wall recording for us today. And this is the only podcast for the people of Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas.
Okay, that's fair. So Fellowship Talks is your podcast spot to listen in on a little bit of what is happening around Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. Whatever you're doing this morning, you're going to want to turn up the volume just a little bit and pay a little closer attention, because today we have some fantastic guests. In the studio with us today, we have Caleb and Debbie Lucian.
Caleb and Debbie Lucian are missionaries in Haiti with Hosean International Ministries. Their family has been serving there since 1986, and Fellowship Bible Church is proud to be partnered with them. Our mission here at Fellowship Bible is to make disciples by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world. And Caleb and Debbie are making disciples across the world, and we're so grateful to play a part in ministry by partnering with them. So thank you for being here with us today, Caleb and Debbie. It's good to have you.
Yeah, welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, you bet.
So we just want to spend some time here on the podcast getting to know you guys. And since we're partnered with you as Fellowship Bible Church, we want to help the rest of our church get to know you guys too.
Yeah.
So first off, just sitting here talking with you guys, just making this wise observation that I'm making, I can tell, Caleb, you're not American. You're probably Haitian national.
You got it right.
Right. And Debbie, you're not Haitian national. You're probably American.
I am American, although I was born overseas too, because I was a military kid.
Okay. All right. So tell us how you guys met.
Dum, dum, dum.
It depends on what you want to hear.
That's good. Yeah.
I was acquainted with Fellowship Bible Church since 1984.
Okay.
And then and groups start coming to serve in Haiti. And one of the teams that came, Debbie was part of. And with the initial contact at the church, we met. And then when she got to Haiti, we get to know each other, became friends. And then she left. I stay.
No, wait a minute. So after being there, okay. After being there a week, I went up to him just like I would any brother. And so I went up to him and said, Caleb, how can I be praying for you as I go home? And so he said, oh, I've got this project and that project. And I said, well, what else is, you know, can we be praying for? And he said, well, you know, I would really like to get married someday. So be praying that I can find a wife who'd be willing to come, you know, live here in Haiti. And so I said, okay. So I went home, and back in the olden days, they called them community groups. And so I went to my D group, and I said, well, hey, I met this really cool brother in the Lord, and he's just doing some awesome things in Haiti. And, you know, let's be praying that he find a wife. So that was, you know, cool. But then about 6 months later, he called me up, and I started freaking out, because I called all my friends in my D group and said, stop praying for him. I said, pray for protection for me, because I don't know what God is doing. This is really scary, because that was not how I saw the Lord answering. And he's smiling. I'm sure he wants to say something.
So. Oh, yes, because I basically had to go to Elm Spring to see a friend who was attending YWAM. And I said, I'm going to rent a car. And she said, oh, you don't have to rent a car. And I'm not working today, tomorrow. Just get my car. And I thought that was perfect. That was perfect. I said, so you can go along. So we did take a trip. But
that first time, you didn't feed me all day. This is perfect. By 10 p.m., I was like, I'm so hungry. Anyway.
So this is your classic missionary or mission student goes on short-term missions trip with Fellowship Bible Church.
I was already... I was not a student. I was already graduate. I started attending fellowship about 1987. Okay. And I was in the singles ministry. And the funny thing with my story is I've been a believer since I was about 9 years old. And then was involved in different activities. And the teaching at fellowship really motivated me to just be saying, Lord, you know, help me be available to do anything. Just be willing. And so at that time, I approached the missions department. I said, hey, I'm a registered nurse. How can you fit me in? Mm-hmm. And at that time, they had some connections with a small hospital in Haiti. And I said, okay, sign me up. And that was just how that worked out. I did not go down there expecting to meet the love of my life. In fact, I had kind of settled that. I was 25 years old. I was like, Lord, it's okay. No one's asking me out here. I mean, if I never get married, I was really, truly at peace with that. So that's kind of why it was kind of funny. God's like, okay, now you're chill. Now I can introduce you, mm-hmm. you know, to the person that you have for me. So,
but once you get to Haiti, the person she was supposed to be working with
wasn't there.
Wasn't there.
Typical mission trip. What you plan, what you actually do. Is
God had other plans.
And there was a team that was there at the same time. Uh-huh. And so they decided, okay, since you don't have anything to do at the hospital, why don't you come and join us? So she started
painting,
uh-huh. doing concrete work, and
for one day,
for one day, and that's how we start meeting and getting to know each other, and then it progresses that way.
That's such a great story. I love hearing that. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Oh, I are you asking about family now or family then?
Of origin. Yeah,
of origin.
Well, I think both.
Both. I grew up in a pretty large family. My father has been a pastor for over 60 years and still pastoring today.
He's 85.
A family of 9 children.
Uh-huh.
And mom and dad were married basically when my dad was 24 and my mom was 15. Mm. And back in those old days. And so we grew up with watching ministry being developed and watching my dad praying for his children to be in ministry. Mm. And so that's how I grew up personally, going to church. And my dad led me to the Lord when I was about 9 years old, to family devotion. And then and going with a bunch of brothers and sisters and a lot of foster kids that my parents took care of over our growing up. More than 150 kids came to our home.
Wow.
That they took care of. So that's the family that I come from.
You didn't want to be a minister.
No.
You were like, not me.
I hated ministry.
Why?
I just watched my dad suffer so much through ministry, and I said, everything good, you're good with what you do, but it's not for me.
Mm.
But God had another plan.
But I was reading in our Fellowship Bible Church missions guidebook, and I noticed in there it said you went to Washington Bible College. So God did something that brought you up here to the States to a Bible college for ministry.
And that's correct. So when I decided that I would be obedient, and that's the bottom line. I search, and once I decide, okay, that's the thing that the Lord had for me, and I enrolled at a Bible college in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and then spent 2 years. Then from there, I transferred to Washington Bible College. Mm-hmm. After I graduated, I went to Dallas Seminary and graduated there after 5 years. And then since 1989, I've returned to Haiti.
So this is Washington Bible College in D.C.?
In Lenham, Maryland.
So we have actually something in common because my wife and her family is all from Maryland.
Okay.
And my mother-in-law, my wife's mom, Janice Hose, went to Washington Bible College and graduated from Washington Bible College. So I'll have to ask her later. If you're listening to this, you'll have to let me know if you know Caleb Lucian.
If she knew some of the Haitian sensation, yeah.
That's right. Oh, Haitian sensation.
Because we play soccer. Play soccer, and I graduated in 1984 from Washington Bible College.
Yeah,
but I had my older brother graduated from there in 1982.
Okay.
I graduated 1984. Another younger brother graduated 1989.
So there was a lot of sensation.
There were about 5 Lucian that went to the Washington Bible College.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Caleb and Debbie, tell us about your kids. Do you guys have any kids?
We have two daughters that are young adults now. They're both still university students. And when I think of them, I always think about Fellowship Bible Church and how the generosity of the church has really impacted their lives. Because when they were probably 4 and 6 years old, Fellowship made available to us some condominiums that they have available for missionaries. And we can come stay there rent-free just for, you know, different time periods. And it became our learning lab. My kids would come and learn how to use a dishwasher and learn how to, you know, use a washing machine, all those things and that we don't have in Haiti. But more importantly, just integrating with the greater. They attended, you know, kids' church here. My daughter was showing her boyfriend up here last week. This is the, you know, classroom I was in. They're so cool. And even when one of our daughters called us 2 years ago, and they attended FSK and FSM when we were in town, which wasn't often, but enough for them to see how a good church functions. Mm-hmm. But 2 years ago, our youngest daughter contacted us and said, I really want to get baptized, but I want daddy to do it. And mm-hmm. so we made a special trip. Caleb flew in, you know, we flew in from Haiti and invited like her best friends and leaders and, you know, baptized her during an FSM event. And that was just really precious to us.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So,
So how long have you guys been married?
We just celebrated 25 years.
Yeah. 25, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, and we're married by Bill Parkinson here at Fellowship Bible Church, the old campus. Mm. And we've been in Haiti. Then 2 months later, I took her to Haiti.
Yeah, I basically moved to Haiti on my honeymoon, so. Yeah. Which is not what I suggest to people. I mean, it's really not probably not the smartest move on our part, but we're like, oh, hey, you know, why not? Because I was the only English-speaking woman in probably like a 30-mile, which is like 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
So people always say, Debbie, why do you speak such good Creole? And I'm like, I promise you, if you put a woman in an area and she's the only one who doesn't speak the language, she will learn.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So,
so tell us a little bit about that, Debbie. As you stepped into Haiti, newly married for the first time, not knowing anybody other than Caleb and his family, but not being able to speak the language there, what were some of the things that you were thinking and going through?
It was really a step of faith on my part because Caleb, and again, he took example of leadership here at Fellowship and other people he had known in seminary. He told me, Debbie, I can't tell you what you're going to be doing. You're not, you know, you're my wife. You're going to have to be seeking God about what your ministry is, what you get involved in. And I had some hopes and dreams. Well, I'm a nurse. I can go volunteer, you know, at such and such a clinic or whatever. But it was frightening at times. It was really lonely because my husband, I remember vividly, like we moved to Haiti. He got me set up in the house that we were living in. And then he would be, I have to go to the city. Bye. And then I wouldn't hear from him for like 3 days because there was no phones. There was, you know, no electricity. When I moved there in 1993, it was a huge international stuff, you know, going on. They weren't selling fuel in the city. And so it was really challenging. It was kind of like going back in time, you know, quite a bit. But, you know, my testimony is God is really faithful and he does meet your needs. And so it was an adventure, but I wouldn't, ladies, do not move to a third world country on your honeymoon. That's not smart idea. It'd be good to spend a year together getting some foundation, but anyway.
Yeah, Amy, we're just getting all kinds of great young adult advice for you.
I know, I'm thinking of a couple in particular that might want to connect with Debbie.
All right, so you guys serve with a ministry that you guys founded, or Caleb, you founded originally, right?
Yes, right before I graduated from Washington Bible College, and I approached several missions organizations that were working in Haiti, and I told them my desire to return to Haiti and to serve, and that I wanted to be under the umbrella just for the sake of accountability, because when you go as a Lone Ranger, it's very difficult to get plugged in.
Well, you had donors that were ready to support you, but you just were looking for the, you know, accountability.
The accountability. And so most of them told me those days, or all of them that I approached told me that they were not interested in sending a national back to Haiti. I pray about it and discourage. And again, the time is different today because now you're seeing nationals from all over the world taking leadership. But in the 80s, early 80s, it was very difficult to see themselves investing in national unless it was one of the protégés that came to the States and they were willing to invest in them. So I, with the counsel of some of my pastor friends in the States, founded Ozean International Ministry with the goal of going back to Haiti, empowering Haiti, Asian leaders to be all God, that God wants them to be.
Mm. So Ozean International Ministries started in 1984.
That's correct.
And kind of summarize what your goal with the ministry is.
Be an empowerment tool for the church. Okay. How do we do that? One of them is in leadership development. When I first went to Haiti in 1984, as a student going back and provide some training for pastors there, and even to the point when I returned in 1989, my community did not have any trained pastor. My father has been to a Bible school in the 50s. He went for 3 years, and everyone that was in Pion, which is our community, was either a disciple of my dad or a disciple of one of the missionaries that came to the community, but no formal training. Mm. So one of my desires was to basically create an environment where we could bring in people who have a heart for ministry and a passion for ministry and equip them so that they can be effective in what God has called them to do. So we started a camp. At the camp, we bring pastors, teachers, and we provide them with the tools that they need and send them back to their community and to their churches to have an effective ministry.
How long is that camp?
Sometimes we do once a week, one week a month. We bring them in. They stay at the camp. We provide them lodging and feed them, and then give them some tools. They go back to the community. They come back again. And it's not a formal training, but at least they have some tools into their hands that they can go with and be effective in terms of their teaching.
Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea, one time Caleb told me that there was a pastor in town when he first came back that was illiterate. He couldn't read or read his own Bible. And the way that he had a heart for serving his church, you know, the people that were, you know, coming to him, and the way he did it is he would have his wife who could read him a section of scripture, and then he would just think and pray and whatever the Lord would, you know, have for him. But I thought, wow, that's incredible. You know, how can we help, you know, help those folks?
Mm-hmm. And so that was one aspect of ministry and dream that I had. The other area is education. And all of those were a remembrance of my growing up. When I was growing up in Pion, the only opportunity that kids have in that community is to go from first to sixth grade. And once you finish with sixth grade as a 13-year-old, your option was stay in that community, and that was the end of your education.
Wow.
Or your parents would send you away to another town so that you could stay with a cousin or a brother or a family member just to have access to education. Mm. So when I returned to Haiti, one of my dreams was to provide that community with a secondary school where the student would have the opportunity to find the quality of education that they need, but at the same time, keep family together. And so we pray, we committed our dream to the Lord. And in 1993, we founded the first secondary school in the community. We had 65 students then. Today, we have about 1,180 students attending the school.
Wow.
And we've had more than 3,000 graduates over the past 25 years, and watching them serve in various capacity around the country. So that was one dream. Another dream that we had for ministry is radio outreach. And we, I'm a pastor and a preacher by profession, so I want to see the message going as far as I could take it.
Mm-hmm.
We pray, we commit our dream to the Lord, and about 20 years ago, we had the opportunity to open a little radio station. It's a small studio, but we can broadcast from it. And now over 1 million people throughout Haiti are listening to the message on a daily basis, almost 24/7, when we don't have problem with electricity.
That's really exciting to hear. Wow.
Is a studio about this size, the room we're sitting in right now? Smaller than the room we're sitting in?
Okay. We got everything. We got connected with another major radio station, just like you have Family Radio and you have a downlink. Okay. And then we can have our own programming as well. And we rebroadcast what they have, focus on the family in French,
you know, is sent out. And then,
So Debbie, what have been the ways that you've found ministry for yourself there in Haiti?
Mostly being a wife and a mom, because I always tried to think about, Lord, what is it that there's needs everywhere, but what is it that only I can do?
Yeah.
And there's only one wife for my husband, and he's a really busy man. And one of the things that helped me was there were a couple women here at Fellowship Bible Church that really, when they heard I was dating Caleb, they're like, come talk to me. I need to talk to you about what it's like to be married to a busy man, you know? and there were several women that reached out to me and you know, just mentored me before we got married and ever since then. That's why it's always been a real treasure for me to be able to return to this area just to check back in with those people and say, okay, what's it like when you have elementary kids? What's it like when you have high school kids? And even though I've, you know, lived overseas now for 25 years, I think some of my strongest friends, you know, were formed, you know, here and, you know, and through the church. So, but to answer back to your question, being a wife and a mom has been most of it. Now that I've been an official empty nester, when my kids got a little bit older, I homeschooled them because there wasn't another English school in our area. But as they got older, I began to got involved with we have the large school that Caleb just told you about, but a lot of the students need help to attend. Their families lack the financial ability. So we set up a sponsorship program where donors can connect for $35 a month and, you know, connect with those kids. And, you know, I basically take care of all the communication and take the pictures and get the Christmas presents delivered and things like that. So, but it's been fun. It's been enjoyable and
But it is a major aspect of ministry because when you have kids who want to go to school, who want to have an education, but because of lack of finances, they cannot have it.
And we try to keep the cost so low, but still, even with the cost low, some of the families really can't do it.
And so what Debbie does is connecting people here in the States with those kids and be the link that they need to have, and someone sponsor, and you want to communicate with that kid, you
someone
get communication.
Someone will send me an email and they'll say, here, you know, can you tell this kid, you know, that I'm thinking about or I'm praying for him, and so I'll print it out and go translate it for him.
Someone send a gift. We go take that gift to the kid. And so family see it's not someone from the boondocks, but it's a real kid that you can connect with. Someone come and said, we want to visit Haiti and we want to go and visit the family of that kid, see where they're living. She makes that connection for them.
Yeah.
And she's my number one fan. And so,
Debbie, you touched on something that was that struck me as really interesting and really important with what you were saying, that while you're living in Haiti, your connections to people here at Fellowship Bible Church were very strong. And not only were they strong, but you needed them in your spiritual walk just to stay connected with God and to stay healthy. So what can people here, Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas, do for you guys?
Prayer, I'd say, is the main thing. I mean, and nowadays it's a lot easier to connect. Like, I have friends, like I people have negative things to say about social media, but for those of us that live in remote locations, it's really nice if I post a picture and I'll have a bunch of friends say, "Oh, that's so cool," and you just get that response. You feel like your people care about you. But prayer, just being able to share our needs and our reality, you know, with people, and just I would encourage people here to just stay in touch, you know, with the missionaries that you're supporting. An email from you means a lot.
Yeah.
When I was visiting here at the church this past Sunday, I was given the opportunity just to stand there and greet people. And there were several families with young kids that came up to me, and the kids were like, "We were praying for you." And I got down on my, you know, my knees and was just like, "Oh, that's so awesome." And I showed them a picture of my husband, and because I want those kids to see, but prayer is powerful. It changes the world. I have no doubt in my mind that the reason that we're both still alive and in good health is answered prayer. Mm-hmm. So, but
and the another area is oftentimes we organize mission trips with, and we bring teams from all over the U.S. to Haiti, getting involved in some ministry. We do leadership training. If someone that the skills that they have, we do business development. Over the past year, one of the big things in our community, for the first time, we have established the first restaurant in that community where we can receive about 120 people at a time. And there has never been a restaurant in that community. So it does two things. It gives employment to 25 people. And number two, it gives the service that the community needs. Mm-hmm. So we look for opportunities to connect business. See if someone is in the area of business, we can use their skills. We can use we need some advocates here in the U.S. to be able to help us. We have a vision to by the year 2030 to be a ministry that not only meets the spiritual needs of our community, but also create an infrastructure in that community that would allow the people to live a decent life. Mm-hmm. So we do community development, we do disaster relief, we building right now a 21,000 square feet disaster building.
To store things.
To store things, to bring, because every year a major disaster hits Haiti, whether it is flood or it is earthquake or whatever it may be. So we need people to connect with us, to be able to help us be the hands and feet for them to the people of Haiti, whether it is through financial giving, whether it is through coming and see what God is doing. We met people who have been, about 40% of people who support Ozean today have been someone who had taken a short-term trip to Haiti. Mm-hmm. And so that connection is important as well. Mm-hmm. And so all of those together make the difference.
Yeah. So people of Fellowship, I'd encourage you guys, even now as you finish up listening to this podcast, stop and email Caleb and Debbie and let them know you're praying for them. Go ahead and stop and pray for them and let them know personally. You guys have an email address that they can send you an email at?
Yeah, they could email me at Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at Hosean, H-O-S-E-A-N.org.
Okay, we'll have that in the show notes too for people to easily connect. So go ahead and tell Siri to start your email there for Debbie and let them know that you're praying for them. That'd be a really big encouragement to them. And I can tell you guys, even just sitting here talking with you and getting to know you, that I'm looking forward to the next Fellowship mission trip to Haiti to hear and see what you guys are doing more. Mm-hmm. I know I want to know more and see what God is doing in your home country and with the people there in Haiti.
We'd love to host you.
So,
yeah, it's really been great just hearing from you guys. I feel like I've learned so much about your ministry, and thanks for just taking the time to share with us what you're doing and letting us know how we can be praying for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking us.
Yeah, thanks for being here with us here on the podcast. It's been great. So, Amy, you know we have these guidebooks for our missions teams here at Fellowship. And on page 56, Caleb and Debbie Lucian are right there explaining a little bit more about their ministry. So, Fellowship, open up your guidebook, look at their ministry, pray for them. You can contact them there and see their website and the ministry that God is doing.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a guidebook, they're available at the missions wall in the plaza of the church.
Or you can check online, too. Mm-hmm. So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.